The other day, Rich and I were together over at St. Vincent's Hospital. We'd gone over to check on Mike Roberts, and Mike had surgery this past week, did great, and we're excited for that and look forward to him being back pretty quickly. But we were walking down the hall together, and there was a fella standing over on the side, and as I was walking by, talking with Rich and not really paying much attention, he called my name. And I turned around, and I stopped, and I looked, and guess what? It was Doug. It was Doug Coppock. Doug Coppock, my best friend growing up. Doug Coppock, who lived next door to me from the day I was born until we graduated from high school. We did so many things together. Good things, bad things. I can pretty much promise you that through the years, if one of us got a spanking, and it was so good to see him. And it brought back a lot of memories about growing up. And especially it made me think about this time of year growing up. Because there were a lot of kids in my neighborhood. And about this time of year, when the days were starting to get short again, but it was still plenty warm outside, we had a game that we loved to play in our neighborhood. Now, there was one particular yard that we liked to gather at because that yard had a lot of trees and a lot of shrubs and a lot of corners, and it was perfect for that game. And so we would get together about the time dusk was beginning to fall and shadows were beginning to spread, and we would play hide and seek. Remember that game? Did y'all grow up playing that game? I'm just curious. Hide and seek. You know, one person would have to be it, and they would have to kind of hide their eyes, and everybody else would scatter all over the property and hide behind anything you could find and do your best not to be found until you could get back safe to base. And that was just a great, great game. Hide and seek. The whole purpose was, I'm here, but you can't find me. You might as well look for somebody else because you'll never find me. Well, that's a great game to play, but you know what I've discovered over the years? I've discovered that a lot of people think that the Lord is playing that same game with us. That the Lord is playing hide and seek. That He is saying to people everywhere, you can look for me, but you're not going to find me. You're going to search for me, but I'm going to hide from you. You can do your best to find where I am, but the truth is, I've gotten my face hidden away, and you're never going to find me. And there are so many people that are walking around in the world today thinking, there's just no way to find God. There's just no way to have a real relationship with Him. Maybe He doesn't even want to be found. Sometimes they even feel like they're doing their very best. But God is always just around the corner. How current is this idea that somehow you can't find God? Well, just this past week, I read an article about some high-profile young Christian leaders who have decided the time has come in their life to walk away from Jesus. And they've done it in a very public way, and they have said to the folks around them, I thought I could find God, I thought I could follow Christ, I thought I could be faithful to Him, but it hasn't turned out the way I wanted it to, and so I think it's just best for me to walk away. What's their problem? He wasn't revealing Himself the way they wanted Him to. God is playing hide and seek. I could not help but think about those folks as I've been doing my personal Bible study in 1 John for the last few weeks. And there's a place there where John says, they went out from us, but they were not of us because they never knew the Lord Jesus in a saving way. The Bible tells us that it is far from the truth to believe that God is playing hide and seek. In fact, what the Bible says is this, the Lord has always been revealing Himself. That if you read the history of Scripture from beginning to end, that's the story. It is the story of God revealing Himself to people who needed to know how much He cared. Through the world around us, He reveals Himself. Through His active presence in our lives, most of all, He revealed Himself through His Son. Maybe the problem is God is not hiding, but we're not looking. At least not the way we need to look. Isaiah 55, 6 says this, "Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near." In other words, God is always close. He is constantly ready to reveal himself. There is nothing he delights more in than someone who needs to know him coming to know him as Savior and as Lord. Do you know how to seek the Lord? When do you need it most? You need it when you're lost. You need to know how to seek the Lord when you're struggling. You need to know how to seek the Lord when you're honestly skeptical, but you're ready for God to reveal himself. You need to seek the Lord when you're hungry for a different kind of relationship with him than you've had to this point. A richer, deeper, more real, more personal relationship. Well, I've got good news for you this morning, and the good news is this. If that's what you need to do, if you need to seek the Lord, if you're here this morning and you're not a Christian, you've never accepted Christ, and you're not saved, I'm going to tell you how you can seek the Lord. If you're here as a believer and you're thinking, God just hasn't seemed as close to me as he ought to be recently, I wonder what's going on, I'm going to tell you how to seek the Lord. If you're here with honest questions and you need honest answers, I'm going to tell you how to seek the Lord. By the time you leave today, you will never, ever in your lifetime be able to say, I never knew how to find God. He's always played hide and seek with me. Are you ready? Let's jump in. Proverbs 2, 1 through 5. The first thing the Bible tells us is this. Seek the Lord through what he says. Sometimes the simplest, most basic place needs to be, places need to be the place you look first. Back in the old days, before I wore contact lenses, I was constantly losing my glasses. I don't know if you've ever had that experience, but I have. I've realized I needed to see something a little more clearly than I could see it, or maybe even read a book, which was impossible without my glasses on, and I would begin to reach for them, and they weren't on the table. So I would walk back to the bathroom and look on the dressing counter, and no glasses there. I'd go into the kitchen and look around trying to find my glasses. I couldn't find my glasses. I'd look under the bed. I couldn't find my glasses. I would look everywhere I could think of. I'd finally get to the point of saying what everybody says in a situation like that. What do you say? Judith, where did you put my glasses? And just when I was about to give up, and I was trying to figure out if there was anywhere else to look, I would find my glasses. Has that ever happened to you? Sometimes the simplest place to look is the first place you need to look instead of the last place that you need to look. There are times when you just make things harder than they have to be. And that's true when it comes to seeking the Lord. Some people think, if I'm going to find God, then I've got to have some kind of supernatural, mystical experience. It's got to be something that's out of this world, because if something like that doesn't happen, I'm never going to find God. Sometimes people think, I've got to have a deeply emotional event to take place in my life. There have got to be tears, and there have got to be brokenness, and if that doesn't happen, then I'm not going to be able to find God. Sometimes they think God's got to reveal himself in some explosion so that all of a sudden I understand things I've never been able to understand before, and then I'll be able to find God. But Proverbs says one of the best places to look for God is right in front of you. It is his word. Proverbs 2:1, my son, if you receive my words and treasure my commands within you. What does God say from the very beginning? You want to find me? You want to have an encounter with me? Come to me in my word. Receive my words. Treasure my commands. The Bible reveals the Lord. You want to find God? Go to the Bible. not to what somebody else says or somebody else thinks or what you heard one time. Go to the source and find it for yourself. The Bible reveals the Lord. It reveals His nature. It reveals His values. It reveals His actions. It reveals His priorities. It reveals His direction. It reveals who God is, what God has done, what He wants you to know, how you can have a personal relationship with Him. Everything you need to know is there to be found in the Word of God. You want to find God? You need to begin at the very beginning. And the beginning is the Word of God. That's why we read Scripture together every Sunday morning. That's why we invite you to stand and not just hear the Word, but say the Word, speak the Word, share the Word. Because you have to understand, reading the Word is not something we do. It's not even an important thing we do. It is the most important thing we do. Every Sunday. Every Sunday when you leave this building. Whether the worship has touched you or not, whether the message made any sense at all to you, you have been in conversation with God through His Word in a direct way. And that is so important to know. In describing those leaders who were leaving the faith, The author of the article, John Cooper, said this: they all had something in common. He said, for some of them, it was that their experience with the Lord was built around a particular manner of worship. Because I liked the way we worshiped, because I enjoyed the way we worshiped, I felt like I was close to God. And somewhere along the way, that worship went away. Or, he said, they were committed to the teachings of a particular pastor or teacher. Whatever that person says, I will accept as truth. Whatever that person says, I will receive for my life. And then he said this, but what they lacked was also in common, which was experience with the Word of God. They never dug their roots down to truly know the Lord. The truth is, the Bible alone has been given to us as our spiritual lifeline. I don't have time to read Scripture on a daily basis. You have no idea how involved my life is, what my schedule is like. I don't have time for that. You don't have time not to expose yourself to the Word. It is your lifeline to a personal experience with God. A vital faith is always connected to a serious commitment to know and follow Scripture. Anybody who says this, I tried reading the Bible, but the truth is, it didn't make any sense to me. It was just too boring. I just gave it up after a little while. They just didn't understand what they were looking for. Understand something. The Bible was never given to you so you could know information about the Lord. The Bible was never given to you as a spiritual textbook that you could read so you would understand all of the facts and all of the figures and all of the geography and all of the places. The Bible was not given to you so you would know information. The Bible was given to you so you could know the Lord. You could know Him and encounter Him in a very personal way. No wonder Proverbs says we are to receive and treasure the truth of the Word. Receive it, take it in, the way you would consume food to get you through the day. Treasure it as the greatest gift God has given you. Receive and treasure the Word of God. It is life-changing to go to the Word with this question: what is God saying to me about my life today? Let me tell you something. If you go to the Bible with that question and you're asking it very seriously, what is God saying to my life today? Your problem is not going to be that you just can't understand. It's going to be otherwise. You're going to understand more than sometimes you want to know. As God speaks clearly to your life on a daily basis. How can you seek the Lord in His Word? Let me give you three suggestions real quickly. Number one, read believing God is speaking. Remember, the Bible is not a word about God. It is God's Word. It is God's revealed Word. It is the only thing on planet Earth you can lay your hands on that came directly from God Himself. Nothing else exists where you can say that. I touched God's Word. I read God's Word. I received God's Word. He revealed it. And I received it. Read the Bible believing that God is using this word to speak to you. Number two, read expecting He has something to tell you. Read expecting that you're not going to just get general knowledge that everybody's going to hear. The Bible is God's word to all of us, but it's also God's word to each of us. And I promise you this, if you'll make that commitment, I will read the Word of God, it's going to begin to speak to you. Now, understand something. That doesn't mean that you may decide today, you know, it's been 10 years since I've read the Bible for myself, so I think I'm going to do it today. And you sit down and you read it, don't expect you're going to get deep truth. It's not going to happen because you're not ready yet. But I promise you this, if you read it today, and you read it tomorrow, and you read it the next day, and 30 days from now, you're still reading it every day, God's going to begin to speak to you. Your life, your circumstances, your challenges, your decisions, your struggles, they're going to begin to show up, and you're going to think, God must have written this last night because this applies to me. It is God's word to you. Read believing God is speaking. Read expecting He has something to tell you. And then read letting God set the agenda. Let God decide what He's going to show you. Don't think I'm going to have to dig this out. Because He will reveal it. He will show you. I love what I heard one person say. They said, I begin by reading the Bible, but I end up with the Bible reading me. You understand what I mean? I begin with me going to the Bible, but pretty soon it's beginning to examine my life. Seek the Lord in His Word. And then the second thing Proverbs says is this. It says, seek the Lord by hearing Him speak to you. When you invest yourself in seeking God in the Word, it prepares you to hear Him speak directly into your life. That is the work of the Holy Spirit, the one who indwells you, who begins to take what God is saying and translating it to you in a way that you can understand, so that all of a sudden, I have a question, I have a need, I have a decision, I have a struggle, and God is talking to me. And I'm hearing what He's saying to my life. The Holy Spirit is Christ in you, teaching, leading, guiding, revealing. He is the source of Christ's real-time lordship in your life. We've spent months on Sunday nights talking about the Holy Spirit. About the power and the presence and the guidance and the direction and the application of the Holy Spirit. But what you really need to know more than anything this morning is exactly that. God gave us His Holy Spirit so that we have His timeless Word, but we also have Christ in us, who is our real-time Lord and Savior. He is working with you right now in the places where you need Him most. Get serious about hearing God speak to you in the midst of your heart. Verse 3 says, if you cry out for discernment and lift up your voice for understanding. Do you hear what he's saying? He's not just saying, if you pay attention. He's saying, if this becomes one of the most important things in your life, you are crying out. You are lifting up your voice. You are asking God to show you what you desperately need to see. How do you develop a heart that's ready to hear the Lord? Well, first you have to make a commitment to listen. Psalm 46:10 is clear. Be still and know that I am God. Be still. It is the hardest thing to do. There may be nothing harder in your life and walk with Christ than simply taking time to be still. How long can you just sit there and not say anything and not see anything and not do anything? How long can you just sit there? Are you like me? I come home in the evening, I walk through the door. The first thing I do is I walk to the den, and what do you think I do? I turn on the television. And you ask me the question, so Jim, what are you going to watch? I don't know. The truth is, at this point in my life, I couldn't tell you when anything comes on. I don't know what comes on Tuesday night. I don't know what's on Thursday afternoon. I don't know. It's just that something needs to be making noise when I walk in the door. That's not a good thing, is it? We need to be still and hear what God is saying. Be still long enough to hear the voice of God. But not just hear, listen. Listen. One of the things I have learned about the Holy Spirit over the years is he is very seldom waiting for me when I go out on my back porch and sit down so he can say, okay, let me start telling you things you need to know. He doesn't start talking right away. You know why? Because I'm not listening yet. He waits until I've been still long enough. We take what God has shown us in his word, and then we say, okay, now, Lord, help me understand what that means right now. Look at the circumstances of your life and ask God, what are you doing in the midst of all of this? What are you showing me that I need to see? And listen. Make time for the Lord to bring something to your attention that you haven't been still long enough to understand. Listen. And then after you've listened, it's time to pray. Praying is a response to what God has been saying to you through his word and his Holy Spirit. Too many times I think we get all of that backwards. We think praying comes first. I need to sit down and I need to begin to pray, and yet I don't really know yet what to pray about. You know why? Because I haven't listened yet. It would be about like me saying to Judith when she said, you know what I would like to do? And I said, yeah, I know exactly what you'd like to do. So-and-so. Of course, you also know after you're married a certain amount of time, you get that right at least 60% of the time. You need to listen and hear. We don't need to get prayer backwards. We need to begin by hearing what God is saying. That completely changes the practice of prayer. It's no longer just a list of requests. It's not trying to say something that sounds spiritual. It's not using words you've heard other people use, nor is it doing your duty because, after all, God wants me to do this. Prayer becomes a personal response to and an active conversation with your Savior. Prayer becomes something altogether new. Let me ask you a question. What would you say to Jesus Christ if you could meet him right here, right now, face to face? What would you say to him? Because guess what? He's here. He's listening. Say it. Pray it. And then Proverbs says this. It says, seek the Lord and make knowing his will your first priority. Proverbs says there's a reward to those who seek the Lord in his word and listen to his voice and respond to him in prayer. It says this in verse 5. Then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. Then it will all work for you. God is not playing hide and seek with you, but he's also not going to reveal himself to people who are vaguely interested. God is not going to say, whatever attention you're willing to give me, I'll take it. God is not standing as a beggar with his hat in his hand, hoping that you'll just offer him a little bit. He is God. He is not looking for casual disciples. He is looking for people who make walking with Christ a priority. Proverbs compares seeking the Lord to searching for hidden treasure. Treasure hunting is a passionate pursuit. Now, Rich gave away $1,000 to our visitors just a little while ago. That's one thing. It's another thing if I got up and I said, you know, what Rich told you is just not true, but we have taped a $1,000 bill under somebody's seat in this room. Who's going to be listening to the end of my sermon? I have a feeling I'm going to be up here going, wait, sit, I'm not done. Hang on. Because when you look for a treasure, you look for a treasure. Why do you want to find that treasure? Because you want to find it before anybody else does. Because you know that treasure is going to change your life. Because you hunger to find that thing that has been hidden away. Finding treasure is not a low interest, no risk proposition. It is a single-minded pursuit. It is the thing I want the most. You remember the story Jesus told about a man who found a treasure hidden in a field? What did he do about that? The Bible says he rushed straight home. He collected everything he owned. He sold it away so he could buy that field and receive the treasure. All of a sudden, all of those other things lost their value in light of the most important thing he'd ever seen in his life. And then Jesus said, the kingdom of heaven is just exactly like that. It promises everything, but it requires everything. The Lord is not looking for people who will say, I'll be kind of committed to you, mostly committed to you every time, every day except Thursdays, committed as long as it's easy for me. He's looking for those who are willing to give him everything. You find the Lord when you realize nothing else is as important as knowing him. You grow in Christ when finding and following Jesus is your greatest passion. You will live forever with the Lord when making a personal commitment to him is the most important thing you could possibly do. God's not playing hide and seek. He wants to be found. He's revealing himself to you. All you got to do is trust him. Maybe you're here this morning and you're not a believer. The honest truth is you may never have heard anything about Jesus in your life, or you may have heard about Jesus 10,000 times, but you've never entered into a personal relationship with him. If I ask you the question, not are you a Christian, but where is Christ in your life, you might be one, if you're honest, to say, you know, he's just really not there at all, because it's never been real. Maybe today is the day when you need to give your life to Jesus. Maybe you've been sitting here today and you felt that Holy Spirit speaking to you, tugging at you, letting you know it's time for you to become a believer. Maybe you're here today as a Christian, but the truth is, it's been way too casual a walk. And lordship doesn't really fit into your vocabulary, because the truth is, I'm more of a follower on a sunny day than a wherever he leads, I'll go type of person. Maybe today is the day when you need to come and you need to say, beginning this day, I'm getting serious. Maybe you're here and you're recognizing, I need a church family because that's where I can plant myself and that's where I can grow, and God is calling me to First Baptist Church. So I'm going to join this church this day. Maybe there's another decision you need to make. If you do, then in just a moment, we're going to sing an invitation hymn. And as we sing, I'll be here at the front. Dr. Hutchins is going to be here at the front. We would love to meet you, to lead you to Jesus, to bring you into our church, to help you with your decision. Is there something God's calling you to do? Let's stand together. Let's sing our hymn of invitation.